Hey, this is Bobby Gustafson from Pain Ward. You're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast.
That Metal Interview.
Very few people can say they invented something. My next guest invented the overkill sound on the guitar. His name is Bobby Gustafson, ex-overkill member, of course, for us people that know. And he is the inventor, for sure, for the first four albums from Overkill. And there is no argument to that. No disrespect to the current Overkill lineup or to Blitz or D.D. Verney or none of those guys. All great musicians. I saw them in San Antonio, Texas just recently, and they're all just awesome. They're all monsters. Anyway, so Bobby Gustafson is here to speak about his new project. Pain Ward is the name of the band, and he's going to reveal who the members are and all that, and he's going to reveal to see if we'll see any more Satan's Taint music in the future, and his opinion on today's Overkill lineup and what happened there with Violence too. So check it out right now. Let's listen to one of my favorite Satan's Taint songs by the name of Desecration. Enjoy. straight ahead metal, do you concur? The great Bobby Gustafson with his project Satan's Taint. And I'll stop the talking. Let's go directly to the interview with Bobby Gustafson. Enjoy. Good to chat with you again. Awesome.
Yeah. How you doing?
Doing okay. I'm here in the horrible weather in Texas. How about yourself?
Oh, is it? No, it's beautiful here.
You're in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Really? Is it a pretty cool weather? Is it a 70s, 80s?
No, it's not that cool yet. It's still hot out, but it just seems to, like, the humidity seemed to drop for some reason. Sometimes September was, like, bad, real bad. It's like it's really not unbearable.
Wow.
Yeah, it's strange.
Things should change. Winter's coming, so, right?
I hope, you know, I had high hopes last year that we didn't have any hurricanes, and then the West Coast got slammed in, what, October, I think. It was kind of sucky.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, that real bad one, too, and it devastated over there. It seemed to be going up the Gulf, you know?
Yeah.
Just lucky anything hasn't really hit Texas yet.
Yeah, we're lucky so far.
Yeah.
I'm close to San Antonio, not too close to the coast, but yeah, it still affects. You get a bunch of rain and all that kind of stuff. Bunch of rain and all that kind of stuff. So,
stuff.
So let's speak music here. So a lot has happened since we last talked. You became a part of Violence. Now you're not with Violence, and then you got a new project that we'll get to right now. So real quick, what happened there with Violence there? Is it just a distance or?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a matter of like flying me out there every time we go to do something, and then, you know, it's got to be a few days to a before, because then we have to rehearse, and, you know, someone's got to put me up. So I guess it just became a bit of a strain after a while.
Okay.
And it's just easier for them. I mean, we wrote it out as long as we could. I mean, obviously the freaking pandemic started as soon as we were supposed to really begin as a band, and it just destroyed the entire first year.
Oh, wow.
Of the band. Yeah, I was out there. They flew me out. We were ready to go to Japan and Australia and stuff, you know, places I'd never been. And while I was out there, it hit. So, yeah, we lost a whole year. So everything was kind of a struggle after that.
So you got to travel with these guys. Japan, you mentioned? Europe?
Yeah, we went to did a couple shows in California, and then we wound up made up the festivals that we were supposed to do the year after. So actually last summer I was able to finally play three of the big festivals out there.
So how is it working with Demel and Sean?
Everything was fine while I was there. I mean, I know Phil was you know, a couple times he wasn't there, so we had to have Ira came in and played guitar a few times to fill in. But you know, it was fun. I stayed at Perry's house, or I stayed at Sean's house, and we got the job done. Sean would book the flights and stuff, and you know, we just did the typical travel thing, and you know, everything kind of worked out, you know, fairly well.
So, what went through your mind, Bobby, when they called you, or emailed you, or messaged you? What did you think? Violence? Did you think about it? Did you at one point say, you know what, maybe not, you know?
Well, I stayed friends with Perry throughout the years. And then probably a good 6 months before I literally joined the band, Perry gave me sort of a heads up. He's like, you know, I think you should start learning the songs. He's like, I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, we might be needing you to come out and play. I said, all right. So I kind of half-heartedly, like, you know, tried to put the songs together. I didn't want to spend a ton of time on it when I really didn't get a confirmation about it. But when the time finally came, I guess they got rid of Ray. They wanted me to come step in, so I did. I just kind of sat down and learned the songs every day as much as I could, and went out there.
So,
but it was great, man. I was happy as hell to playing with them.
Badass music, yeah. Some badass thrash.
Oh yeah. I'm playing, you know, the two albums were badass. I mean, the entire first album is full of great songs. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm not playing anything slouchy. Yeah. You know, some great thrash that Phil wrote. So happy.
Did you have to sit down with Phil and figure out the guitar parts or?
yeah, a lot of it. And he was great. He was real patient with me, because I never really learned other people's things. I never like had to sit down and learn parts and stuff. So it's very odd for me to be playing someone else's music. Yeah. I mean, even though you like it, you don't feel it as much as the person who wrote it. So it's kind of strange. It takes a while for you to really have it kick in and feel like second nature to you. But there was a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, early recordings from the mid 80s or whatever are still not that great. So you don't really hear everything on there. So you've got a general idea of the song. And that's, you know, Phil would come in, he's like, no, it's not really played that way, it's played this way. And you know, then you relearn stuff, and you know, yeah, you got buried into your head and stuff. But he was great, he was super patient throughout the whole process.
So you got to record an EP, right? Let the World Burn, is that right?
Yeah, Let the World Burn. They did a 5-song EP just to have something fresh to go out with.
Yeah, yeah, for merch and fans and this and that.
Yeah,
promo. Yeah,
yeah. After all that time, it's like, you know, hey, let's just, instead of doing the whole album and wasting time trying to get that together, let's just do 5 songs. And they pretty much wrote it out there, the three of them, and okay, then got it all together.
Okay, so you didn't pitch in ideas for that?
Just a couple of little tiny ideas, I think, here and there. But I did, you know, the guitar solos. Actually came back and re-recorded them in Florida and then sent them back out to them. But we didn't all sit down and write anything. That was like, you know, Sean, Phil, and Perry.
Yeah. So how did it feel when you had to decide and, you know what, I got to tell these guys I'm not going to be a part of the band anymore? How did you confront them? Was it a message or a phone call? Or
no, they called me, and we were doing, we were supposed to do a Headbangers Ball tour that got postponed like 3 times. So we finally go out to do that, and we had the rider for the equipment that we were supposed to get when we were out there. And I looked at it, and I usually play Mesa Boogie, and I didn't see any Mesa Boogie equipment on there. And I kind of said, "Hey guys, what's going on? I don't see any of my equipment on this list."
Yeah.
And they kind of called me back up and says, like, "Well, look, you know, we just kind of wanted to say thanks, but it was, you know, it's just too much money for us to keep flying you back and forth."
Yeah.
You know, Perry called me, and then, you know, Phil gave me a call a couple of days later and said thank you and everything, but it's like, it's just, you know, too much. They're still a small band, and
yeah,
they're only doing sporadic shows, so they're not making a ton of money. So
yeah,
so no problem. You know, wasn't any bad feelings or nothing like that. So we wind up turning out pretty cool.
For people that don't know, these guys are in California, right? And you're in Florida, so
yeah, they're all out in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
Sean is in Sacramento, so you know, it's like an hour plus trip.
Yeah,
each way to go to rehearsal. And same thing with, you know, living at Perry's house when I was going back and forth. And yeah, that's a lot of travel. And it's like, it sucks because flights, I mean, sometimes I was taking 3 planes, you know, nothing goes direct anymore. So
yeah,
you're like hopping on planes and
connecting flights. I mean,
I've been through every airport in the South that there is, you know, Atlanta and Charlotte and Dallas. I liked going through Dallas because it was kind of like halfway there.
Yeah.
And then halfway there again. But, you know, one time I went up to Jersey, it's 3 hours up that way, and then another 6 before you get all the way out there. It's like, it, you know, it turns into a 13-hour day.
Wow.
The only positive was during the pandemic was when I did most of my flying, and there was nobody on the planes.
Really?
I mean, I had a whole row to myself, like, almost the first 2 years of flying.
Wow. Pandemic, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And then towards the end, you really see what a madhouse it was trying to get on and off planes when everyone started to come back and they weren't afraid. I hope we never have to go through that again, though.
Yeah. So for people that have never flown before, I call it the airport games. I mean, you got to check in your baggage, your luggage, and go through security. Lines and lines, of course, right? So those 6-hour trips, 9-hour trips, you're not counting the airport games, right? I mean, they're running around and...
Yeah, luckily, like, you know, he recommended I get, like, a TSA card. Like, so I went and got that. So you can bypass the line. They have, like, a TSA section.
Okay.
So you're not with the general people just coming in. So you're already pre-approved, so you can get through a little bit quicker. But I always kind of packed light, so I didn't have to check any baggage in and stuff. But it was like, it even seemed like uncomfortable when you had to do it then, and there was barely anybody on the plane. But you know, towards like, you know, yeah, a year ago when everything lightened up, you realized what a zoo it was, and then it was just annoying as hell. Every seat was taken, and I mean, I see stuff now with people fist fighting on there, and
yeah,
it's like everyone's just gone insane.
Well, that's kind of sad for the Violence fans to see you go, but we're happy that you got this new project, right? You got Pain Word. Let's talk a bit about this. How did this come together, Bobby? Pain Word and the name.
I had a bunch of songs that I had written. I thought I might just throw them at the Violence guys to see if, you know, they liked anything. But I wound up not even using any of those, and I started writing, which I'm, you know, kind of always doing. So I had material, sifting through it, and I had Satan's Taint, so I figured I can also just do another album with, you know, with them, just do a third album, you know, because that's just kind of fun for me to do, and put that out there. But you know, I throughout the whole time we were playing, I know the bass player that I'm using now, Mike Borders, is the bass player in Massacre, and we kept missing them by one day. We were never on the same show. And it was just kind of funny that we could never run into each other. They'd play Atlanta the night before and fly right back out. I would never see them. But, you know, we've been in contact now for a couple of years. And I just said, hey, look, you know, why don't I just do a new band? I says, you know, some people just didn't get the name Satan's Taint. They either loved it or hated it. But it was like, you know, I didn't care either way. But I says, let's just try and put something else together. And I had the name, you know, Pain Word for a while. I had written it down. So we said, well, let's just start putting songs together. And I started putting riffs down. He taught me how to, like, email them through, you know, recording it here on my laptop. And we got into that, sending stuff back and forth. And you know, newer songs would be better. So we'd push out some of the older songs. And we got to a point where, you know, I was like, I want to do at least 10. And we're at that point now, so we've got them done, and it's just right now we're working on Jim's getting drum tracks down. We want to kind of hear how everything sounds with real drums, so we're going through that process, and then we just need to get a singer after that, but we have to have drums on the tape to get a singer. So
who are, you mentioned Mike Borders, who's the drummer, and who are the members?
The drummer's Jim McCourt. He did drums on the first two Satan's Taint albums.
Okay, yeah.
He's a local guy. He plays in a lot of cover bands just for fun, just to keep his chops up.
Yeah.
And he plays out. But I've known him. We were in different bands at one point back in like 2003, 2004. They played in the next day over from us. And then he wound up playing with us in Response Negative. And we played with them for a few years back in the early 2000s, but we've just stayed friends ever since. So he's gonna, you know, he's putting stuff down for me on these tracks.
So there's chemistry there, yeah. And Mike, of course, is badass from Massacre, yeah. So
yeah, I mean, both guys are like super easy to get along with, which is like, you know, half the battle. You might have a great drummer, but you can't stand being around him. That's not going to do you any good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like a family. People. Yeah, you got to get along. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got to get along. You definitely got to get along. And, you know, so far everything is good on that. We just got to get, you know, I got to see if I can get either a singer who plays guitar, then we're all set. Or if I get someone who just sings, then I got to get another guitar player. So there's still stuff that's kind of up in the air, but you gotta get the band started.
Yeah.
So they all look at social media. So I said, I know it's premature, but let's just start putting the word out there.
Yeah, make some noise. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Any candidates out there, Bobby? And are you looking for the singer frontman right now, or you haven't started?
We had a couple of inquiries, and I, you know, just didn't think they fit. They're either like too clean or like too heavy, like the Cookie Monster thing. I want to kind of go away from that and just kind of go in the middle, yeah, where someone can do both. I had a whole bunch of people that when I first asked, they sent stuff to me on Facebook and in Messenger and all that. And when I got hacked, like, it all disappeared.
Oh.
Yeah, so I couldn't get back in there and find out who sent what or whatever. So when the time comes and we have the drums down, we'll have something to send to them. So I'll ask again and say, hey, you know, it's not mandatory, but it would be a lot nicer if you lived in Florida so we could play.
Yeah.
It's just too expensive to fly, and it's getting almost as expensive to just drive these days.
Oh yeah, the fuel, forget it. So so you mentioned some the vocals somewhere in between the Cookie Monster deal and a clean. Yeah. So yeah. I guess you're looking for a thrashy kind of Chuck Billy kind of thing?
Yeah, or just someone who's heavy, but there's no singing nice type of parts, but I just, you know, I don't want to make it too clean. I don't want to make it too heavy, but, you know, it could be a part here and there where they go in either direction, which is fine. It's just more versatile, because you'll get some guys who are Cookie Monster and they're like,
yeah,
that's all they can do. And it's like, okay, well, you got to break it up a little bit. We can't do every song exactly the same.
Death metal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cookie Monster. It's funny how we, that's our reference word, the Cookie Monster. maybe that's the original guy that came up with the death metal voice, right? The guy from Sesame Street, right?
Yeah, right. He should get some sort of credit.
That's before Chuck and Jeff Becerra, I guess. Cookie Monster.
Yeah, who was that? The
Jim Henson or
Sesame Street?
Sesame Street, yeah. Jim Henson.
Somebody on Sesame Street invented a vocal style.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. So when do you guys? Of course, you don't have a vocalist. When do you guys plan to start playing? In 24 or maybe in the winter?
I'm depending on how long it takes to get these. I mean, I'll probably do all the guitar parts, so that gives us a little time to find somebody else to fill in. But it's just going to be a matter of how quick we can find the right singer, because everybody just seems to be so critical of everything. I mean, we never really talk bad about another band's name. The band's name was a band's name, but today people, it's like they're just opinions. They fly all over the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, it's going to be very, even more crucial these days to find the right singer, because it's like, you know, people just talk trash and you don't want them, you know, to get the wrong impression before they've even heard the band, you know?
Yeah.
So trying to get someone who's, you know, who's going to kind of please everybody a little bit. And then, you know, if the criticism is at a minimum, I mean, that'll help. But if everyone just starts trashing shit, then it's just, you know, just becomes harder to get ahead. So
that's the thing with the internet nowadays. People are, they're 10 foot tall behind the computer, right?
Yeah.
Just talking shit, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and before, you know, if your album was sent out, you know, sent out a couple of weeks before or whatnot, it went to a magazine, and the magazine was usually the only one who threw their opinion on it.
Yeah.
And that was it. But now, you know, every little kid on the block has got an opinion about your music, and it's, and, you know, they got Facebook and Instagram, so they got, you know, they all think they have a platform to, you know, criticize somebody else's
right
career or music or band. It's like,
here's a different question, Bobby. Hope it, you don't get mad. It's just a little bit, it's not touchy, it's just a different question, you know.
Uh-oh.
do you go,
okay, go ahead.
Do you go check out Overkill, maybe in Incognito when they're around your area?
No.
Someone told me to ask you a question.
Incognito.
Let me go check out these guys.
I should wear a long trench coat and a mustache and go to show. No, I haven't seen any one of their shows since I left.
So what's your opinion on the new lineup there?
Well, finally, you know, they haven't changed the lineup
right
every other album, so that's a plus. But I mean, I guess they're still around, so they're doing something right.
Yeah, yeah, they got some good music. Yeah, well, thanks to you. I mean, you're the one that I would say you're the inventor of the Overkill sound, right? As we spoke last time.
Well, right? Yeah, I mean, pretty much the, you know, the beginnings of the band and the majority of their set list, at least the ones that people recognize the most, or the stuff off the first album. I mean, the first four albums.
That's true. I mean,
so, and then I finally got my sound on the Years of Decay.
Wow.
And then Rob, who came in and played after me, he used to be my guitar tech, so he knew my sound, he knew what I used, he knew all my settings. So I, you know, they pretty much used what I finally got on Years of Decay for the album after me.
Wow.
And to me, it's like, it took me four albums to get what I want. So it's like, you don't just walk into the studio and have a great sound, you know, especially back in those days. Yeah. So I think that album probably wouldn't have done as good as if he went in and tried to get his own create his own sound instead of using mine. Because when I heard it, I was just like, holy shit. I mean, they used Terry Date.
Yeah.
And I totally hear my guitar sound in there. So, you know, having a good sound really helps something sell. Because, you know, if he didn't have a good sound, I don't think that album would have done as well. Even if the songs are good, something sounds like crap.
You're talking about Horoscope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The one after when you left. Yeah, yeah.
And I think he did one or two after that, and then he was gone. But, you know, they just don't like to take care of the other members of the band. They're all just hired, and the two of them make all the cash.
They would leave, right? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's why everybody was constantly leaving back then.
Well, so in a way, they kind of cheated. They took your formula, your settings from your guitar sounds. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because everyone still asked me about that guitar sound and what I used. And then he went in and he gave himself the same exact equipment, the same exact rack. He had all my settings because, you know, we would go through it together.
Yeah.
For stage and whatnot.
I mean, I respect Dee Dee and Blitz and all that. I've seen them live, and yeah, they do kick ass and this and that and Bittner and all that. But I was in the crowd in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago, and I saw them. And you're right. I mean, people recognize the stuff from the stuff that you were part of, the first four albums, more than their other 12 albums or whatever. That's true. I mean, you got the best material right there in those first four albums right there.
Yeah. I mean, I got 16 albums, I think, after me, and the majority of the set list is still my song, so.
Yeah, people go nuts when they play, you know, Elimination, Hello from the Gutter, all those Feel the Fire stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
Feel the Fire, Hammerhead, you know, Skull Crusher. They were still playing all of that.
Wow. So changing subjects here, give us an update on Satan's Taint. Is that done with, or because you got Pain Word now? Is this maybe the new version of Satan's Taint, right?
Well, I was actually going to try and use somebody different for drums. You know, it would be nice to get someone who's got a name, but anyone with a name these days seems to be in five different bands. So it's really hard to schedule anything with, you know, any sort of professional player because they're just always, you know, busy. They're not available. Yeah. So, you know, we talked to Jim, and I was going to just have him do Satan's Taint, but I said, hey, why don't you just come in and do these tracks for Paymort as well.
With Mike, yeah.
If you can make it on the road, that would be great. You know, your kids are a little bit older now, so you might be able to get away.
Okay.
I tried to use all different people on the Satan's Taint thing because I wanted to have, like, a variation of friends who, you know, maybe didn't do anything or you know, had free time and then just wanted to get together and do it. But it wound up just being, the same sort of friends on the second album. But I have material, like, left over, and I have other stuff that would fit more to that band. So when that time comes, I want to get this one out first, and then, you know, now that I can record on the laptop and record at home, I can do things a little bit easier and quicker. It shouldn't be too long before, you know, another Satan's Taint CD comes out. And I'll see. I keep it going as long as people want it, but it's just, you know, that's all the Viking themed songs and cover, and it's, you know, it's just kind of fun for me to do. So
it's a yes, I guess, or maybe for a third album.
I mean, it'll definitely be a third one. I just can't give a date on that because I'm kind of just all concentrating on
Pain Word. So speaking of Pain Word, where'd you get the name from? Were you watching a movie, or you're listening to a metal song, or?
Yeah, it must have been something I heard off the television, because I tried to look it up after I heard it, and there wasn't really any. I thought it was like a section of a hospital or something. they don't call it that. They call it like pain therapy, or something. And I don't know how exactly the moment it popped into my head, but I know I wrote it down. And when I hear stuff like that, I'll do that. And I, you know, it was just always sitting there on the paper, staring at me, and I'm like, I mean, that's definitely a good name. I said it doesn't lean to any one direction. It sounds heavy.
It does.
It's not, you know, there's no Satan word in it, which freaked everybody out at first. And
right,
yeah. So it just says, you know, that's a solid name. And I said, it's very hard these days to come up with something,
yeah,
that's heavy, that doesn't sound goofy or hasn't been used yet. And I'm finding that now, trying to come up with an album cover. It's just like, I'm trying not to do the stereotypical, oh, let's just put a fucking skull on it.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody does. I'm like, let's put some thought into it and see what we can come up with. So it's been a little difficult coming up with a cover, but I'm still working on that. And, you know, songs are done, titles are done, lyrics are done. So it's just a matter of getting...
super exciting, yeah.
Yeah, getting people together.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there. They're just waiting and dying to listen to this stuff because you got some badass ideas. I mean, just to be honest with you, you're one of the innovators here of the 80s thrash, as we spoke last time. For sure.
Yeah, I want to keep keep that going. Everything is kind of branched off into different directions, which is great. But I think the main street for what I'm doing right now is definitely like the thrash stuff, and then, you know, whatever branches off a little bit out of that. But yeah, it's just, you know, fast, straightforward. You know, trying to make it as aggressive as possible and not have any sort of nice parts or picking intro type parts and stuff like that. Yeah, it's straightforward.
Awesome. So how about Grip Inc.? Going back to your past, any hopes of anything there? Is that done with?
I think that's done. I don't even know if Lombardo would go back to that.
Yeah, he has like 20 bands too, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's another one who's been playing out a lot. So, you know, there's really no need for him probably to go back to that.
Oh, but, wow. That's not a good answer.
I wouldn't think so unless he gets totally, you know, desperate and wants to do something. But, you know, I don't think he would get involved with me again. I mean, we weren't even at the point where we were getting anything done.
Yeah.
You know, I was living in California and I was driving 7 hours down to his house for the weekends, and, you know, weren't doing anything. It's like, all right, well, you know.
Yeah. So I saw you do some side stuff, like some studio work. Rick Defy, saw you did some lead for that band, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's an old Overkill fan, and he had asked a while ago to do some solo stuff. And before I couldn't really record because I didn't have the laptop set up to record. I didn't have anything downloaded. I didn't know Pro Tools and stuff like that. So now that I've got, there's a program called Reaper. I use that.
Okay.
And, they can send it to me and I can put it online and just find out where I need to do a solo, and I'll just come up with something and send it out. I did one for him. I did one for Sid.
That's right. Yeah.
I did one for a local friend who's putting something together. So that became pretty cool. And there's another band in Chicago that I did one for as well.
Very cool. Here's a different question, Bobby. I ask all my guests, if you could time travel, where would you travel to and which year?
Oh, God. crap. I'd go back. I would love to be like in Roman times, I guess.
Cool.
Somewhere back there where it's like, you know, Rome is just being built up.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, other than that, it was like, you know, the Viking Age, the Middle Age seemed a little bit more horrible. A little bit more dirty. But it seemed like when they had Rome being put together and stuff, it was kind of swanky. So that might have been a bit more fun. But yeah, I think like I would go back any time in history. I just love stuff from the past. So
yeah, very cool. So what's next, Bobby? What's on your agenda? You're a busy guy.
I'm gonna keep writing. I always want to try and, you know, sometimes a song will just come out and you're like, holy crap. So I'm just going to continue to write. I mean, I've got the solid 10. If I come up with something better, I'll throw that in there. But next on the agenda is just getting together with the drummer, getting that down, getting into the studio, laying my tracks, getting the singer. And then basically, I mean, we have a couple of people who have interest already, but the business has changed so much. You don't really give them a demo tape anymore. You kind of give them the final product. So you're basically doing everything yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what we're, that's where we're at the point where it's like, okay, we got to come up with the cover and record, and you know, you're doing the whole thing and handing it to them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to get albums out these days. It's a little different. You don't get as much help from the label as you used to do. You used to just hand them the music and the art, and they did everything. But basically now you're doing it all yourself. So
yeah. A lot of work, yeah.
That's next. Yeah, it's just all that sort of work, organizing it together and, you know, hoping it all comes together well and people will like it once it's finally done. Because it's a shitload of work, man. It's a lot of work to do.
People don't know that. Yeah, it's just a lot of work, a lot of hours in studio and all this organizing and covers and mixing and guitar parts and leads.
It's like home recording, home artwork. Yeah. Home publicity, social media, and it's just completely different from the stuff we did 40 years ago.
Yeah, wow. So before I let you go, Bobby, would you like to send a message to your fans and friends listening?
Just be patient. I'm working on as heavy as stuff as I possibly can come out of me. So just stay tuned. Follow me on social media, on Facebook, look up Payne Ward, and we can keep in touch. I'll keep you updated on what's going on.
Awesome. I'll put those links under the episode so people can search the band, Bobby. So very cool, Bobby. I'll let you go, and I'll let you do what you're doing, and I appreciate your time as always, you know.
Thank you, man.
Awesome. We'll see you in Texas soon, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I hope soon.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right, bro.
A legend for sure. No argument about that. This guy is one of the inventors of the thrash movement. Of course, Metallica was their first, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax. All those big four were their first, but Bobby is there in the forefront of the 80s thrash movement. So congrats to him, and look out for his new project, Payne Ward. Be looking out for it online, social media. Look up Bobby Gustafson online, Facebook, Twitter, and all that stuff. So look him up. Support Bobby's project, Payne Ward, and future Satan's Taint music. And let's keep supporting violence, of course, right? So we're all still violence fanatics and overkill fanatics for sure. Me have myself, James from Texas. Thank you for supporting that Metal Interview podcast. And don't forget to keep it metal.